Podcast.
Are we saying podcast?
Welcome back to Fanboys and a Filthy Casual. Back at you live again. It is a Monday, so therefore this is Dennis.
This is Lewis.
Harold.
Today we're going to be doing another review. I know last time we had an epic review, but you know what? It just so happens it's right before summer, and it's just ripe time for all these amazing things. So if you are sick and tired of reviews, then this try is another podcast.
We might. Joe Rogan is a couple clicks down or up, depending on where you
go. But yeah, we're going to be doing another review, and this is part two, I guess, because the original a couple of months back or a year ago, we talked about a show on YouTube Red.
Right.
Okay, we got it right. Yeah. YouTube Red that we were so excited for, and that was Cobra Kai. And it just so happened that we totally loved Cobra Kai. It was one of the few times where I could not really fanboy, the crap out of it. And I left thinking that it was an amazing show. So this time around, we finally got to see Cobra Kai Season 2.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get on the... Are we doing a lose views on a series?
Ooh, a series? I don't know if we can do that. There's a lot of episodes.
Is that possible? Okay, hold on. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. Lose views.
Oh, God. I'm not ready for this. But anyway, sure, let's do it. All right, so lose views for season 2 of Cobra Kai, the sequel to the great surprise of season 1.
Very.
It
is amazing.
Like, I literally, out of nowhere, excitement and great hype out of season 1. So season 1 ended on a high, low note, depending on which character you were. So we know
it was a low kick.
Right, and it was a back elbow.
It was
elbow.
A high,
So we pick up after the events of season 1, where we find Miguel Diaz, the champion of the Valley, All Valley Karate Champion, Cobra Kai becoming more popular than ever before, and Miyagi-Do being reopened by Daniel and his students, Sam, his daughter, and I can't remember his name now.
Robbie Keane,
thank you very much. Robbie Keane opening Miyagi-Do as a rival school to Cobra Kai Dojo. So the first few episodes, we see where this newfound popularity and where this newfound notoriety basically is going to bring us. Our senseis, Johnny and Daniel, are still continuing on their paths of enlightenment, trying to become good teachers. But unfortunately, at the same time, they're also on paths of destruction, because as we see in Johnny's case, he is still trying to be he's going on a redemption story for the most part, where he's trying to compensate for his lack of a better word, bad fathering for Robbie.
Father figure.
Right, yeah, and becoming a positive father figure for his students. He saw how Miguel and Hawk basically, ran the gamut at the tournament, unfortunately using some underhanded means, hurting and injuring Robbie and the other fighters. So, he goes on a path where he's trying to compensate, trying to find a middle ground of, keeping the morale of Cobra Kai the same, while at the same time teaching them honor as opposed to just having no mercy. Now, one of the biggest wrenches that we are introduced to in the first episode is the return of Sensei Kreese. Sensei Kreese, notoriously the first teacher from Cobra Kai, from the first Karate Kid movie. Johnny Sensei, and basically a nuisance and a overall classic 80s bad guy to Mr. Miyagi, a foil to Daniel and Mr. Miyagi's teaching. Throughout the episode or throughout the series, there's a lot of great, it's set during the summer in between school years, where we see Sam, the Daniel's daughter, and Robbie becoming steady, having a relationship, while we're introduced to a new character who I can't remember now. The girl,
Tori,
thank you very much. Tori becoming Miguel's new love interest, and them basically running parallel stories where Sam has some uncovered issues or issues with how Miguel ended their relationship, and not to mention, you know, Tori becoming a new thorn in everybody's side. It all culminates into a great, basically half-hour-long rumble at school on their first day. And unfortunately, the series ends on a bit of a cliffhanger and a huge cliffhanger. Sorry, actually, it wasn't even a cliffhanger because Miguel straight up fell. Yep. So, you know, unfortunately, at the peak of a heightened fight between Miguel and Robbie, Robbie delivers a swift kick. Robbie falls a full story from the top of their school, or you know, from the second story, and falls and ends up in a hospital. And you know, Sensei Johnny, after fighting off John Kreese's advances, and not to mention, you know, his John Kreese's teachings seeping into the kids, Kreese is taking over Cobra Kai. And so now Johnny, who we've been rooting for since the beginning of season one, is now without a dojo, without students, and without, you know, the love of his neighbors, or, you know, yeah, the relationship. Ooh, that's long. Sorry. Anyway, so that's it. That's Lose Views for season two of Cobra Kai.
So let's start off as we always do. Thoughts. Did we like it? Did we not like it? You know, especially considering that we loved Cobra Kai season one. It had, you know, high expectations, at least for me. What did you guys think? Let's start with Harold, since he was the first one to be able to watch it.
Honestly, I thought it was better than season one.
Oh, okay.
Season one was great, mm-hmm, because it was a very nostalgic trip.
Yeah.
And it was them developing the characters from where it started. This one, it's advancing the characters, which is always nice, you know, when you have a season two where the characters aren't stale and you're putting them in new situations and whatnot. And you see that, you know, that there's a... both of the characters aren't able to balance both their personal lives and their business.
Yes, yeah.
And it was great to see how each of them individually dealt with it, as well as how they dealt with any type of opposition that they ran into, including, you know, John Kreese coming in and basically taking over the dojo, like Lewis said. And he kind of does it the Hydro way. He's like, the whole time you think that he's part of your crew, and secretly, he's training people in the back,
yeah,
to be, you know, his soldiers instead. And it was just crazy that, like, when Lewis described the very, very last fight, Hawk says the only reason that, you know, Miguel is pretty much in peril and almost dying is the fact that he showed mercy to Robbie, whereas Robbie didn't, and which is supposed to be the opposite teaching
that Robbie's supposed to be
learning from, you know, Miyagi-Do. And it's like, you know, that moment happens. It's, we talked about how the series is only 10 episodes. This season's only 10 episodes. And you really want more.
Yeah.
Like, when season one ended, it's like, oh, I can't wait to see it. This season ended and I was like, why are there not more episodes right now?
We need to know right away.
I have lots of questions. They need to be answered right away. I was telling these guys, the thing went, released at midnight. By the end of my work day, I watched the whole thing. Like, I didn't really care what work was supposed to be doing at my job. I just binged the whole thing. And it was like, I watched it in one day. And it was one of those things where it's like, okay, it's done. I'm going to go back. And I went back to season one yesterday, and I binged the whole thing, season one and season two, since the last time I talked to you guys about this thing. And
did you really? Wow.
Yeah. Just because, man, the fight scenes in season two are so much better.
Mm.
The dramatic scenes are less cheesy than they were in the first season. And it's like, you've already built that sympathy for Johnny from season one. So it's like, at the beginning of season two, you're already like, technically, there's two good guys in this thing now.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, the only real bad guy is Sensei Kreese.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, calls him Mr. Kreese for a while until he's earned his trust. And then, as usual, screws him over. So,
I kind of agree with Harold, I got to tell you. I was able to use somebody's YouTube account. It was at 10 o'clock at night. And I was like, you know what? I heard that the first two episodes are available. You know, I'll check it out. The first episode, I was like, oh my God, it's great. Second episode was great. And I was like, oh man, I guess I would have to wait. And I was like, wait a minute. It's continuing. And so I was able to watch all of these episodes. And like, I remember the screaming at the TV going, what the hell? No, at least in my head, I thought there would be 12 episodes or 14 episodes. And when that final scene with Miguel, oh, like falling, you know, and then I'm like, oh my God, this is such a great, you know, such a great episode. I can't wait till the next one. All of a sudden, bam, I was like, no.
It was rough because all the other episodes are like, on the next episode.
Yeah.
That one ended. That's it. What? No, I don't need to know who wrote this movie or this show.
Like this.
Who cares who the key grip is?
This thing came out a couple weeks ago, and literally within days, the three of us in our chat, it's just like, wait, there's more episodes, right? And then Lewis was like, he watched it over the past weekend, and it was like, it's only 10 episodes? We're not saying that it's the greatest thing ever. It might be. I'm just kidding. But it's so entertaining, and they did it in such a fun way that you can't help but binge the hell out of this.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, totally.
You know, we talked about Endgame last week, and we talked about it was fan service. You know, the first season was fan service.
Yes.
It was what we wanted to see. And second season, it was like, now that we know who these characters are, we actually care about these characters. Oh my God, I can't believe, you know, Miguel is struggling and making bad choices. You can't believe that Robbie Keane is now, like, you know, like really trying to change himself. It was just cool emotional moments throughout the whole thing that it just made me fall in love with that show. And I'm so scared, and I know we're going to be talking about it later on, you know, that maybe, just maybe, it should end pretty soon.
Yeah.
Because it's such a great show that we don't want it to be a show that jumps the shark, and then all of a sudden it just gets extended. So, well, you know, Lewis, you're the one who hasn't said anything yet regarding whether or not you liked it.
I liked it a lot. It was super enjoyable. I'm not trying to be contrarian, but I don't think it was as good as season one because, yeah, season one was just, I think what added to...
Get out.
Oh, I don't get an outro. But, you know, it was still great, though. Like, I really do agree that this is, like, if I got a box set of this show, it would be one of the best, you know, gifts to give if you have friends that haven't seen it. Just binging it from season one and two, it would be, you know, a great thing. So, a really great series. Definitely a lot of great growth. Doing a lot more of what they did from the first season, including what they did with Sensei or with John Kreese. You know, obviously he is the antagonist of this show, but at least they put in the effort to show a little, you know, nuance, do a little background for him, you know, just kind of like what they did with Johnny in the first season. Like, you know, yes, he is a big jerk. This is Sensei Kreese. But, you know, they kind of showed that he was in the dumps. You know, he is at the lowest of the low at where we pick him up. Excuse me, not this intimidating millionaire that he, you know, puts himself out to be. But at the same time, unfortunately, just like a snake, trusting Sensei Kreese bites Johnny in the end, and it's just such a great story. But I think, like I said, the only thing that really kind of hurts it is the fact that, yeah, it kind of, Dennis corrected me and heralded too, that technically it's not a cliffhanger the way that Miguel ended up in the hospital and everybody's where they are. Because, you know, every series ends on a weird note of like, well, stay tuned for next season. But at the same time, it felt like I needed more. But I think that's just me being selfish and me not getting closure the way that I wanted. So, but otherwise, great show, great series, definitely worth binging the 5-6 hours.
So let's take a look at some of your favorite moments. What are some maybe character moments, maybe some character growth that we want to talk about, funny moments, anything that you want to mention just to kind of explore the series?
You know what's funny is it took me watching this show to technically realize that Karate Kid 1, 2, and 3 happens within a year.
True. Is that right?
Because he says, I won the All Valley Tournament in 84, and I won it again the next year in 85, when Karate Kid 3 came out in 1989.
Oh my gosh, okay, yeah.
And it's like, because he was like, yeah, there was that one year where I had one of my buddies tried to take over Cobra Kai.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, quick mention of Cobra Kai, of Karate Kid 3. Well, not really. And it's like, yeah, I was in Okinawa. And it's like, you really, it's hard to believe that three movies that span, you know, the years that it did are supposed to be just in within 1 year. Because it's like, he's not back-to-back champion if he wins in 84 and then wins in 80,
wins again when he's in college. You
know? when he's already graduating, getting his master's.
For me, one of the things, and you know, it's really basic, but I love the fact that, especially since it's Cobra Kai, I love the fact that we all of a sudden now have more of a layer for Johnny. You know, at first, I originally thought that, you know, Johnny had already evolved. Mm-hmm. That, you know, from the jerk, or at least in our perspective, that he was to the person that he is now, at least at the end of the season, I thought, wow, he finally had his character growth, character journey. What was cool is that whoever was the writers here decided, you know what? No, that's just Johnny 2.0. He could still actually grow. Yeah. And one of the cool things that I thought, and a great choice, was that Johnny had to kind of rethink the whole concept of Cobra Kai.
Right, yeah. Because that for him, was good.
Yeah, for him, that was Cobra Kai was truth. And then the moment he realized, wait a minute, that Cobra Kai makes you, even though he didn't want to admit to it, it makes you a different type of person. And he starts trying to change Cobra Kai, of course, to the disappointment and anger of Sensei Kreese. You know, I think that was one of the coolest moments where you see more growth for Johnny wanting to have an actual relationship that's not just about, you know, about sex. It's not just about all those things. It's actually caring for Miguel's mom. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, wanting something out of Miguel, where he could have easily just told Miguel, you know, ignored Miguel. But he basically told Miguel, look, I care about you. You know, mm-hmm. you are more of a son than he is.
Yeah.
And there's that growth, which makes it, of course, all the more heart-wrenching that yes. at the end, he finally gets everything, and then everything gets taken away once again. Not just Cobra Kai, but his relationship, mm-hmm. and of course, his favorite student, his son at this point.
Yeah. You know, it's a lot of great character work. I've actually, you know, talking to some other friends and reading it online, I know there has been a little bit of a weird concern about, like, oh, there's more focus on the teenagers. But to be honest, I liked it. I liked that they focused a lot more on the relationship between Sam and Robbie and how it kind of organically grew, not to mention the way that they were trained. I loved the Miyagi-Do scenes. You know, the fact, or, you know, starting off with a small class of two, that was one of my favorite lines, is when, you know, initially Daniel only had Robbie, and then his daughter joins in. It's like, oh, I doubled my class, and I haven't even opened the dojo yet. It's like, that's great. That's great humor, and it kind of shows you what you know, what Daniel wants to do with his dojo. He wants it to grow organically. He wants it to be honorable, and you know, it's a little joke too, to how initially, you know, he's trying to do all these things about using advertising online or advertising at their beach club, and none of them work until he actually, like, you know, ironically, Daniel gets a little fire under his butt and goes to Cobra Kai Dojo and calls him out for ruining Miyagi-Do. And that's when he actually gets students to his dojo. So, you know, it was a great, like, character arc for the dojo itself. Seeing how, you know, there was some ups and some downs, and then the training itself, like, you know, if you don't like training montages, then obviously, you know, Karate Kid is not the series for you. So I really liked how they did that new little balancing platform gag. I thought that was, like, inspired, and it's really clever, and it was, like, really foreshadowed. It was foreshadowed really, you know, cleverly in the beginning, where he had, you know, Daniel had one big pot of plant, and then he had to ask Robbie, oh, do it at the same time, because it got to be balanced. I'm like, oh, I wonder if that's going to come into play later. And it does. Like, ah, there you go.
Just so, like that scene in Scott Pilgrim. Oh, remember when Scott Pilgrim, they started playing the video game together, him and Knives?
Oh.
So at the very end, they started doing Iron Man. That's just
me. Why? Nice pull, dude. But anyway. So yeah, that's what I really enjoyed.
One of the things, and again, you know, we just talked about Johnny's growth. Again, at the end of season one, I really felt that Johnny was the one that grew the most. And I felt that this was going to be Daniel's chance to actually finally grow. And he did. And it was really cool. And Lewis kind of mentioned the fact that, you know, it was a struggle for them to try to get Miyagi-Do to go, because you know, one of the funnier moments was that you know, aside from Robbie and Sam, they finally have two kids that came in here and said, you know, we're here for Miyagi-Do. He's like, yeah, you know, like, start painting the fence.
Yeah.
And they're like, get out of here, and they leave, and Daniel's going, what?
Yeah.
And the cool thing is that one of his growth was that, even though weirdly enough they put more emphasis on Mr. Miyagi this time around, it was his growth away from Miyagi, Mr. Miyagi.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
You know, that he all of a sudden needed to figure out on his own style, his own way of doing things. And what was the coolest moments for me was that he was struggling until the moment where he had his own Mr. Miyagi moment, where, you know, where Robbie is about to get his ass kicked, and then out of nowhere, the very same jump almost, you know, he jumps out of nowhere and all of a sudden proceeds to kick everybody's ass, and Robbie's there sitting there watching exactly where he was. And of course, right then and there, he finally realizes, this is the Miyagi-Do that I want. And it just, again, moments like that, I'm like, oh my God, I said this last time and I'm going to say it again. Whoever wrote this, whoever is behind this, really loves the source material, understands the source material, really understands the characters, and so they're able to pull all these moments here.
Yeah, I think the best line came from Daniel's wife when she said something like, don't try to be Mr. Miyagi, be the best Mr. LaRusso. I was like, oh, okay. So that's his premise. That's the premise of the whole series, is for Daniel to find his own way of teaching and be his own sensei and to be his own mentor. And I think that actually goes to Johnny too. I think that's what he was trying to find this whole season, is trying to like find a middle ground, some kind of way to compensate for the fact that he is not softer per se, because he's still a little crude, you know, he's still a little rough around the edges, but he is finding heart, you know, he's finding reasons to love genuinely, you know, he does, he admits during the show that he didn't really care for Robbie's mom, and when Robbie's mom was pregnant, in one of the kind of the sadder moments that Dennis kind of alluded to earlier, is when he was having a heart-to-heart with Miguel, he admitted to Miguel that when Robbie was being born, he was across the street getting drunk, or I'm sorry, trying to sober up from getting drunk, and he couldn't find it in him to be there for Robbie even on his first day. So he's failed his biological son from day one. So, you know, it's a lot of introspective, a lot of great stuff. And it felt very organic, because so the way that John Kreese, yes, it was very Hydra, how he kind of like, you know, plants little seeds into Hawk, into Aisha, into the other students, of being, you know, no mercy and being being as mean, and that's how you get ahead in life. But, you know, he doesn't, Kreese doesn't get to that point if Johnny wasn't willing to allow him. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like he Johnny had to be at the point where, you know, if this happened last season, Johnny would have been like, nah, dude, leave me alone. Because he was really mad at Kreese during last season. But during this season, when Johnny, you know, falls in love with Miguel's mom, you know, finds a redemption story in Miguel and finds success with Cobra Kai, you know, he's like, okay, you know, I'll give Sensei Kreese another chance. I see that he's in the dumps. You know, he's living in a hostel with, you know, living out of a box, basically, or out of a little footlocker. So, you know, it sets him up, unfortunately, for his ultimate failure. And yeah, Kreese takes advantage of Johnny's honesty and his charity, and takes the dojo from right underneath them. Freaking handshake agreements, man. Handshake agreements.
Like, he really is a terrible businessman.
Oh no, he's bad. Like, the fact when he was like, that's why the one part, like, where we're kind of talking about it, where Kreese was like, yeah, you know, I've organized things for you.
Yes,
you
know,
I
printed
your invoices and everything and all this kind of, like, you know, I got everything together for you. Obviously, when Johnny learns how to use the internet for the first time, I had he was totally like Quagmire, where he's like, the whole time I could have been watching this stuff. You know, like him yelling at the pawn shop guy, like, he's like, I'm not an IT guy, man, I own a pawn shop. And it's just like, you know, we talked about it before, where it's like his lack of being adept in the modern world is what kind of like makes him a great sympathetic character sometimes. Mm-hmm. And you just, you know, him being overly trusting, like giving the guy another chance, or it's like where it, initially he felt he'd done enough for him and
yeah,
I want nothing to do with you anymore, like we're, our relationship is done. And they keep showing those flashbacks of, you know, like that scene where he like Kreese is choking him out,
yeah,
and then, you know, he's breaking his trophy and everything. It's like that should have been the breaking point then, and mm-hmm. for a while it seems like that was, and it's always been in the back of Johnny's head. But then when he actually sees him, you know, up close and personal, it's like, you know, all those, that feeling of hatred eventually goes away, because it's like everything that he learned, he has to owe it to John Kreese.
Right.
Because like he mentioned in, like we talked about in season one, you know, he coming from an abusive family situation, John Kreese was his only father. Mm-hmm. So, and like the way you say he takes to Miguel now, it's like he came up with two father figures that were not good for him. So, you know, he's trying to be the best father figure that he could. And it's like, I remember that line. I really like that line where he says, I want you to be like everything that I wasn't, like a better version mm-hmm. of me. And it's like, you know, that's something that only parents ever say to their children. And it's like, and it wasn't even when he was trying to get with his mother, which is still kind of weird. But at the same time, his mom kind of hot. So it's like, you know, yeah, can't really blame him on that.
Yeah, he wants that tres leches, man.
Yeah. She's not about to get with those leches, you know what I'm saying? Anyways.
Wow. Okay, so
tacos with a hard shell, man.
Before he goes too far here, let's talk about you know, since we talked about Daniel and Johnny, one of my favorite scenes is Johnny, Daniel, and the wife and the girlfriend like sitting each other.
That's a Mexican restaurant.
Oh, Mexican is the most awkward scene, but it works so well.
It does.
I just like when Danny goes, Coors Light.
He's like, such a douche, like, dude.
Like, both of them are so, like, you hate and love both of them at the same time.
Yeah, exactly.
Where it's like, Daniel's like, come on, like, he can't enjoy his favorite drink.
Yeah.
But he's like, oh, we're at a restaurant, so you gotta be kind of classy. Yeah. And just like, order.
Of course, Johnny goes, of course he can dance.
Yeah.
And again, so much shade at each other.
It's the same person. You know, like, yin and yang, which yeah. is, I guess, where we're guessing is gonna be going to. But it's hilarious that, you know, they don't see what other people are seeing, that yeah. you know, that they are just really the opposite of each other, which yeah. is going to be interesting.
I think it's a great like callback to the first season. That was one of my favorite episodes too, from season one, was when Johnny and Daniel were at the bar, right? And yeah. they hung out and they drove around
being buddies.
And, yeah, and they started listening to REO Speedwagon and all that good yeah. stuff. So this one is like, it takes it to the next level of like, okay, here we are with our spouses or with our significant others. And that, yeah, like after the first few moments of trepidation and awkward, like, you know, measuring contest, basically, it's like, all right, you know, we're both senseis. We both have great students that we're trying to teach. We have our different styles, but, you know, we walk away respectful. And of course, just like season one, it ends up blowing in yeah. their faces, literally, you know.
Then, and see, this is the issue I have with this season is basically the Sam character.
Okay.
And
the daughter, right?
The daughter, like Daniel's daughter, in that she's more the antagonist than anybody else besides the Tory girl. Like, yes.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Like, everything that happens in this, everything that goes wrong in this is because of her. It's like her trying to prove to herself that she's just as good as that Tory girl ends up with her getting drunk,
mm-hmm.
ends up with her kissing Miguel, and then saying, oh, maybe we should get back together. And then Miguel will be like, no, I'm with... And then, you know, Tori witnessing that moment. Witnessing the moment, technically, where her boyfriend is cheating on her.
Yeah.
And that's what leads to the big brawl at the end. And it's everything that, you know, is accumulated from her making decisions that, you know, normal people wouldn't make and whatnot.
Yeah.
And then also, the more and more I see... I watch the episodes, it does feel like that whole kind of Austin double turn. Where the Cobra Kai are going to be the good guys. Because, like, Robbie saw that he was vulnerable. He didn't have to kick him.
Yeah.
You know? And then, like, he more or less... Robbie is becoming the Johnny. And then Miguel's trying to be the Daniel. Yeah. Even though at the end of season one, it was supposed to be the opposite. So
it's interesting that you talk about Sam there. But if you think about it, Sam really was the antagonist the first season also. You know,
yeah.
Needless to say, we forgot that she was the one that you know, she crashed was the reason Johnny's crash car. In Johnny's car, you know?
Yeah.
And nobody's ever kind of like talked about it afterwards.
Because when I went back to watch it, I was like, did she get any comeuppance here? Like,
no.
Like, Johnny's just like, hey.
Yeah. My Camaro.
When he sees her at the dealership, he's like, I got nothing. I'm like, dude, call her up, bro. Like, you know, you solve everybody's problems that way. I mean,
call the police.
Yeah,
get her insurance.
And then I know Dennis's favorite character in this whole season has been Dimitri.
Yes.
Or as Dennis calls him, the Woody Allen character. Because he's literally like, well, you'll see.
I forgot the actor's name, but he plays that guy so well.
Yeah,
it's so cringeworthy to the point where you know, in the scene where in the final scene where it was Hawk versus him, it was like, oh my god, I know what's gonna happen. It's like Endgame when Captain America says assemble. I was like, yep,
here we go.
It's gonna happen.
All his training's gonna come into fruition right now.
It's like, really? Dimitri reminds me, one of the reasons why I love Dimitri reminds me of Daniel LaRusso when Daniel was fighting, because he moves exactly the way
he does. Yeah, he's like, very really slow, rigid, and like. If we're going back to some of our favorite things, I love that episode where they had the old Cobra Kai's.
Oh yeah. That was really heartfelt and poignant, to be honest with you.
But to be honest, there's that one Cobra Kai, I had no idea who that guy was. And I had to look it up who he was. It's like he was some guy in the background.
He was the third.
He was Cobra Kai. Like when they were lining up to fight, he was like one of the guys in line in uniform. And I had to look it up on the internet. I was like, I don't know who this guy is. And then they're like, oh, he was on Head of the Class or whatever. But I don't remember him from Karate Kid. But, you know, Bobby and Tommy, dude.
Yeah.
Obviously Bobby, because, you know, biggest cheater in the world, Mr. Let's throw a giant flying sidekick to Daniel's leg and stuff. And then Tommy, because, you know, douchebag, put him in a body bag.
Yeah. Classic line.
Did something happen?
Oh my gosh. Ironically, he ends up in the body bag.
That's very good.
Oh my god.
He said, get him a body bag.
Wait a second.
Get him a body bag.
Okay, and I'm sorry.
It would have been now that, obviously, this is spoilers, but wouldn't it have been great if right when, like, they're waking him up, Tony just goes, get him a body bag. Or one of the EMTs.
Get the body bag. Something, you're right.
Oh.
No, by the way, I have to research, but did something happen to Dutch,
the actor? I don't think so. But I always thought Dutch... Like, I literally had to research what Dutch was doing. But like, yeah, Dutch is Steve McQueen's son.
Okay.
But then I was like...
Well, they wrote him off.
Yeah, they were like,
he's in jail.
No, yeah, because... There was a
like,
video.
It should be Bobby there.
Yeah, it should have been Bobby, Dutch, and Tommy, because those are the three. Besides, you know, like when they were doing that whole montage of them riding on the bikes, that other guy who was there, I forget his name, guy. But they were showing the montage of them on their new bike, or like their Harleys, and then it shows them on the, like, you know, their old dirt bikes, and I was like, you're not that guy. I was like, that's Dutch. So yeah, Dutch, if you're out there, Chad McQueen, where are you, bro? Like,
we missed you, man.
Like, for one episode, you could have been there.
It's Ellie and you that were missing so far.
We've got Mrs. LaRusso. She's frequent.
So we talked about Sam. How about Robbie and Miguel? Even Hawk. You know, what do you think of their character growth so far? Where they're headed?
I'm looking forward to where they take them in this next season, or season three, I guess, because season two for Miguel was a bit of a weird letdown for me, in a sense, because you win, you know, all of that
was let down, fell down.
Jeez.
with
a sudden stop in the bottom.
Yeah,
he did the true lies.
The Die Hard slow.
But it was only one story. Hans Gruber, he is not.
No, he's got some years to do that for. But so, I mean, yeah, the season was a weird little up and down for him, in a sense that, yeah, you win All-Valley Championship. You meet a pretty hot girl. in your dojo, and you're moping about your ex the whole time. And then, you know, it's kind of a weird story arc for him. I think Robbie actually found a lot more motivation and a lot more character development actually between the two of them, because, you know, we find that his mom, unfortunately, at the beginning admits to, or not admits, but, you know, she succumbs to her whims and she disappears without paying bills. So poor Robbie's got to be like in a darkened house with no hot water, no electricity, which, you know, I guess luckily for him, segues to him living with Sam and Mr. and Daniel's whole family. So that obviously sparks their relationship. But, you know, I think Robbie saw a lot more development. Unfortunately, it's all undone at the final scene where he, you know, Robbie, I think he falls for his anger. Or, you know, he turns into his dad in a sense where, you're right. I think I got to rewatch that last scene again, because I think Miguel really did had his hands up. Like, he was done. Like, you know, Miguel could have given him the killing blow or the final blow, decides not to, and he, you know, starts to back up. And I think Miguel realizes this wasn't worth it, or the fight's not worth it. Robbie, on the other hand, you know, I think blinded by rage or blinded by whatever's going on in his head, decides to do what he did and kick him over the edge. I think, I don't know if it's a good segue, but for one of the other things that I didn't really get a lot out of the new character Tori. I watched the series with my son. Tori, the actress who plays Tori, is actually from one of his old favorite shows from the Disney Channel, Suite Life. She was one of the actresses there, so, you know, I'm familiar with her, you know, watching her back in 5 o'clock showing or whatnot. But anyway, unlike the other characters, even Aisha, you know, she gets a little fleshed out a little bit more with her, you know, introducing her mom and, you know, knowing where she was from the first season. Yeah, exactly right.
Her mom was Tootie.
Tootie from Facts of Life. Like, wow.
Kim Fields.
Yeah. Look great. Good job, yeah. Kim Fields. Okay, but, so, yeah, Tori kind of felt a little, what's the word? One-dimensional for me. Like, she was introduced to be an antagonist.
She's the bad girl.
Yeah, she was the bad girl, more or less. She was introduced to, A, antagonize Sam, B, steal Sam's girl. And, you know, it's like, in the sense, like, I wish the kid had given her more. I know they gave her a little anecdote of, like, oh, my mom was poor and me and my brother had to do this and that. I was like, I think the strength of the Cobra Kai series is that they showed instead of told. Does that make sense? No. Yeah. Yeah. You know, they showed how these people came to where they are. They didn't tell us, hey, this is why I'm at, I'm like this. So I was hoping a little bit more from that. But otherwise, you know, not a lot of disappointing characterizations.
No, the funny part, I think it was Harold that mentioned it, was that, you know, you tend to forget that this show is about teenagers.
Yeah.
And at times I'm, like, enjoying it, but at the same time, like, oh, it's a little awkward. You know, the fact that Daniel LaRusso is the worst parent ever, that when you would put a teenage daughter and let her live with a teenage boy that you barely know just because you are a sensei, and you're not there all the time anyway, and so they get to hook up with each other.
Yeah.
But the other thing that was
gives you the crane kick.
Jeez.
But the one thing that kind of confused or kind of really tore me apart was the final episode, the fight scene.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great fight scene. It was one of the best action scenes we've had so far, you know. But at the same time, every so often I was like, these guys are teenagers.
Yeah.
These guys are teenagers. These guys are teenagers. And I'm like, you know, as an educator myself, I was like, what kind of teachers are they letting them fight? That are just, A, letting them fight, and then if you see them, you run away. I'm like, I can't imagine being in a school where everybody's, you know, everybody's just actually just watching, and actually, no, never mind. I can actually see that, where everybody is, everybody's just Instagramming it, or whatever, twitting it, tweeting it.
You know what I find fascinating about that last fight scene, though, is Cobra Kai totally won.
Oh yeah,
they were like destroying them, and except it took it like Hawk. Oh, except for Hawk, he's the only one that
Hawk is the only one that,
of course, because, you know, they needed that moment of redemption. But everybody else, I mean, even the big dude, that one was kind of like a, you know, moment. But the two main
Tori and Sam were kind of like
even, but at the same time, like, for the most part, Tori was winning the whole fight.
Oh yeah,
and it's like you know, it's like total regular 80s movie. It's like getting dominated for the first part, and then, you know, redemption at the last second. But in terms of who's learned better defense. I think the Cobra Kai.
Yeah, I think John Kreese is on something.
So somebody is getting some free advertising from some kids.
Yeah, exactly. I actually liked about the end of the season two. It's kind of like, again, it's like a parallel to the actual movies. Like Karate Kid 1 ended in the tournament. Season 1 of Cobra Kai ended in the tournament. Season 2 of Cobra Kai ended kind of like with Cobra, Karate Kid 2. It's a grudge match. It wasn't a formal like one-on-one fight. It was a grudge match between a bunch of people. But at the same time, it's like it wasn't in a formal setting. There was no championship involved. There's no tournament to win. It was just, you know, he hated you and you hated them and they went at it. So I dug that a lot. So, you know, maybe...
Wait, are you predicting that season 3 and Miguel's going to do a kata and then win everything?
Confuse...
And bad boy Mike Barnes would be like, the hell is he doing?
What is this?
Why is he doing the most basic form I've ever seen?
Is he shoveling a pizza into an oven right now?
Okay, and on that segue, you know, we were actually pretty close to when we were talking about Cobra Kai before and what we wanted in the future. We were pretty spot on in some things. So considering that season 3 which by the way, I don't know if you guys know this, but has been officially announced that season 3 is going to be coming out.
Nice.
And it's going to be in 2020. We don't know
too
yet.
Too far.
No. Oh my God, 7 months.
Can they just film now?
Yeah, just go. What else are you guys doing? Yeah.
So what are you looking forward to? What are some of the storylines that you think that they're going to or that you want them to do? Personally, I'll start it off. The whole idea of the yin and yang, where, you know, it's always been that Johnny's on one side, Daniel LaRusso's on the other hand. It seems like now you finally have the antagonist that you've always wanted.
Yeah.
John Kreese is always going to be the ultimate antagonist.
He is Fire Lord Ozai.
Exactly. Even though he looks really old and really, really frail, especially when he had his gi, and he kind of has his, like that whole, like, holding his lapel.
That's his move, though, man.
That's his move.
Why do you think I always do that when I have a suit on? I always stand like this.
That's the crease.
But it's like, oh my God. But it's like, oh my God, you are so skinny.
Oh, like, totally. When his arms are skinny, I was like,
Maybe do a long sleeve gi this time around. No, but I think that would be interesting where you have like this. You know, maybe it's finally time that Miyagi-Do and Cobra Kai, although I don't know what the title of the season 3 is going to be if that's the case, but finally these two people realize that together that maybe, I don't know, maybe that's just wishful thinking, but together that they're able to get together and actually be able to fight the old Cobra Kai with this new version of it.
Yeah, I dig that too. Because you know what? I think the seeds were kind of planted at the end of season 2 when we see Don Kreese running the new class. There are two exceptions or two people missing from that class. So obviously Miguel is hurt to be there, but Aisha's missing
too.
So I'm thinking, actually, I think it'll end, season 3 will end with Johnny and Daniel teaming up, but I think initially Johnny might start his own dojo or at least start training, you know, a little old school in his own backyard kind of thing with Aisha and Miguel, you know, trying to help him rehab, get back into shape, you know, that whole great... I look forward to that training montage when they're trying to get Miguel back into like fighting shape and, you know, mom and
oh God.
You know, we'll see how that works.
It's going to be like a...
Dragon?
No, Kickboxer. Oh, yeah, like Dragon.
Oh, Dragon's a good one. Yes, exactly.
Yes, he's going to be in his wheelchair throwing punches.
So, yeah, looking forward to... Actually, yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to, too. However, you know, Miguel's injuries are, you know, hopefully, obviously, that's going to be part of his redemption or his comeback is getting better and back in the fighting shape.
Man.
Do you think it's going to be a tournament? Because I don't know if you can have, because if you think about it, how has Johnny not been arrested yet? Considering that he's beaten up random, like,
I don't know, he beat up that guy at the dealership. I was like, dude, I would have quit too.
Beat up that guy. He beat up the guy that I was dating the
boss. Oh, yeah. Right. The British guy.
Right. Like, dude, how are you not? So, and again, because we're trying to put some reality into it, you can't have, You can't have like kids like at a parking lot like rumbling, doing a rumble between each other.
Yeah.
There has to be some sort of like, you know, organized so we can actually cheer for it.
Yes, you're right.
I think we all know the answer to that. Kumite.
So, I guess a question for me, and still the same thought of what do we want? Is there going to be a full fight now between Johnny and Daniel? And will there be a 2-on-1 versus Kreese?
Oh, that'd be crazy. That'd be kind of cool. But yeah, you're right. Like, you know, the little fight that Johnny and Daniel had in Johnny's apartment was felt like a teaser.
Yeah,
it was like, all right, it was good. Teasing. You know, it was like, you know, obviously Daniel at that scene was a little hot because Johnny took in his daughter and Robbie. So, you know, it was more of a one-sided, you know, Johnny was playing defense the whole time and trying not to ruin his apartment. So eventually, yeah, maybe we'll get to that. We'll get to the fireworks factory and you know, they get the one-on-one fight. Maybe, I bet you it'll end up like Rocky 3.
They punch each other. They both throw kicks at the same time.
They throw great kicks.
It's going to be like this.
Wah! Cobra Kai!
And then say Cobra Kai with a question mark as well. Cobra Kai? I think that the thing I'm looking forward to is... we talked about this off the air, but one of the smaller stories has been, you know, Johnny's vengeance towards Daniel has always been that his girlfriend was stolen from him, that Daniel stole Allie from him, and like literally, when I was rewatching the very first episode, it's like, yeah, he's has all those pining feelings towards her, and so like last season he would, you know, they talked to, when him and Daniel were at the bar, they were like, yeah, you know, I follow her on Facebook, and then, you know, Johnny's like, oh, I don't understand the internet. And then this season he gets the internet and he's like, he goes on Facebook and then yes, he sends her a friend request, and you, it's kind of those moments you don't really remember, and it's the very last image you see.
Yeah, that's right.
Of season two is Allie has accepted your friend request. So what we were talking about is, does Elizabeth Shue, who, you know, some of the best movies of all time, i.e. Something in the Future, Something to the Future, she's in a couple of those.
Yeah.
Does she make an appearance when all the original characters...
Does she get shoehorned into the...
Because her last name is Horn now.
Because they got married.
Yes. Well, that's... I love when we do the awkward silence.
Well, Lewis, I think it's time for us to end because Lewis is over there like struggling.
No, my back. No,
remember, I know it's been a month, but Disneyland still lingers.
Still lingers, man.
It's just like that song, Linger.
So,
Black Hole Sun.
Anyway, the other news. I don't know if you guys read this, and I'm still kind of confused. You know, especially since Lewis has been kind enough to pay for YouTube Red that I've been using.
It was my account?
Yes. Oh, you didn't know that?
No.
Oh, is it just you and me discussing that?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. No.
Okay, no worries.
You know when we talked about it though, right?
Wow.
When we went to watch Endgame.
Now, they aside from the fact that they've announced that 2020 season 3 is coming out, supposedly, and I don't know how this is going to work, supposedly starting like summer or some point in the next couple months, they're going to make YouTube Red shows available for free, but with ads.
Oh.
So,
you're interested.
So it's just regular YouTube.
I know, I guess, but...
unless you have the ad blocker, which some people...
Oh. I'm not high tech enough to figure that out.
I know. I
take
still,
my $9.
I still want to be able to do the SNES modding. And
Jesus, man! I got you.
Send me a link. Or something.
I got you. Yeah, it's on YouTube. It's but it's got ads. Oh wait, no. You have a YouTube Red account now. There's no ads.
Ooh, okay. So, anything else? Anything else? Karate Kid. I mean, sorry, Cobra Kai.
No, that great show, you know, definitely worth binging if you're into it. It's only 5 hours, sadly.
Yeah.
It should be more, but, you know, definitely a great addition to the library.
One of my favorite moments still is the training montage that Johnny has with his new students where he makes them move the cylinder on a mixer truck.
Oh, my God, you're right.
And I was like...
So bad.
They're gonna die in there. And even John Kreese is like, hey, man... They could have died. He's like, nah, I got this.
John Grish was amazed. One of the few times you're like, wow.
Yeah. And it was like one of those great moments where it's like, Johnny is kind of, you know, learning kind of what Mr. Miyagi did with Daniel and going a little bit off kilter. Like he did in the first season when he's getting chased by dogs and everything. Yeah, but this is an actual thing where it's like, you know, if you don't move, the cement will get you stuck.
Right.
And if you don't work as a team together, then you're never going to get out of here.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Great morals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I kind of want to end, and I know this might be seem like a weird, you know, change of pace, but, you know, here we are. We've been talking about Cobra Kai, one of the greatest, you know, Karate Kid is one of the greatest series. But unfortunately, we just recently, a week ago, we heard that there was a passing of one of the greatest series, film series that we have, of course, that is Star Wars. And of course, you know, it's always sad when we have actors die. And of course, we just discovered that, or not just discovered, but last week we discovered that, or we were told that the original actor for Chewbacca has passed away.
Yeah, yeah, that's really too bad. I mean, these folks are national treasures, to be perfectly honest. You know, the Star Wars series is ingrained into American culture, fanboy culture. You know, every year that passes, you know, we lose, you know, more and more. You know, Carrie Fisher obviously passed away a couple years ago. That was a tragic. You know, Peter Mayhew passing away this past week, real tragic to the fanboys, and, you know, prayers to his family and to his relatives and his loved ones. So yeah.
Yeah, thank you for providing all the great moments and memories. I remember reading how he played Chewbacca in The Force Awakens, and I was like, dude.
Yeah, he's like 70 something. Yeah,
like just, and then he specifically said, "I'm retiring with this role." Because Harrison is retiring his role on the same...
Right, yeah.
So, like, they went into the series together. They're going out of the series together. So, yeah. He was able to pass that torch on to the giant Swedish basketball player yeah. who's playing Chewbacca from now on. And it's like, yeah, it was a man in a costume, but then the actions that he always provided mm-hmm. in between were more than anything else. That, and, you know, I learned today that he never made those sounds. So...
Are you a little disappointed?
Turns out I did.
Plot twist.
Okay, well, that is it for us today. I hope you enjoyed our episode. You know, as usual, please make sure to check out our website, Two Fanboys and a Filthy Casual. And, of course, we have our Facebook page.
On Facebook, Two Fanboys and a Filthy Casual. Every time the podcast goes live, we will be posting it there. Anytime we have articles go out, we'll be posting it there, too. And any fun news going on around the world, we will be posting there, too.
That's cool.
All right. Yeah, all right.
Awesome. That's what happens when you are...
talking about the website? Did you talk about the website already?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
He did. And then he threw it to
oh,
me.
Sorry.
Social okay, networks.
Sure. Yeah, and then you what, can follow
the
us.
The Tom
on.
Holland one?
Yes, the Tom Holland one. No. But yeah, Instagram, Twitter, Two Fanboys, One Casual. Two of us fanboys curate those accounts. I'm not going to say who the One Casual is on social media.
Dude, I've told you. I need you to teach me how to
I said
it.
We're not going to say anything. You just outed yourself, bro.
No, I will explain.
You're totally Johnny Lawrence-ing this, dude.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I am... Hey, I know how to swipe right.
Yeah.
Hot babes.
Yeah, he goes hot babes, and he goes for the clothed ones. Sorry.
Amateur. Rookie move, man.
Doesn't know how it works.
My God, I am Johnny Lawrence. I love Iron Eagle.
Yeah. Is that how you met your wife? Did you bump into her at a bar?
Oh, man. Okay. So that is it for us today. What a revelation. This is Two Fanboys and a Filthy Casual. Hope you enjoyed our podcast. As usual, this is Dennis.
This is Lewis.
Harold.
I got nothing.
You're the best around. I thought we were doing it.